In this episode, I chat with Daria Payuk about overcoming adversity and preparing mentally for competition and more. I'm Tim Young, and this is The Bowler's Mind. Hi, Daria. Welcome to the show, and thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Very nice you're doing that for bowlers and the bowling community.
I'm sure you have told this story a million times before, but for anyone who hasn't heard, would you kind of give us just a brief history of your bowling career, how you started, and then kind of what brought you into the pros?
Yeah, so the shortest way I can say, I started bowling in 99. I was 5 years old. Five, 6 years old. And that was the first bowling center that was in the country of Poland where I'm from. Okay. So it was absolutely new to everyone. We didn't know much about the game, but we loved it. I'm saying we because me and my parents went there for the first time. My dad signed up for the first leagues. My mom joined him. We're bowling like little tournaments. I was already 7, 8. Later, they opened a bowling center in my hometown when I started to practice a lot. And then there was a bowling association in okay. Poland to where you could try to make the national team, and they were hosting like national championships. And from the young age, probably because I loved bowling and I was bowling a lot, and there was not that many people that started as early as me and became so obsessed with the game, I feel like I had a little bit of an edge. But when I was 11, I went for my first national championship, and I was the underdog. Nobody knew who I was. I was a small girl from small town, and I ended up winning the category for under 15 and also wow. under 19. So wow. being 11, I did beat people that were 18 years old. And once again, you know, it was a developing sport in Poland. So you cannot compare it to anything like in the US for youth. But that was a very big accomplishment on its own. And that's when I was first sent to European Youth Championships in Germany. And that's when I saw what bowling really was. That's when, you know, the boys from Scandinavia, Germany, like high boxing, lots of rev rate. I'm like, damn, so this is what it's all about. Like, if I think about it, I think about this cartoon moment when a person walks in and then they have googly eyes and they're just overwhelmed.
Right.
That was it for me. And I was like, that back then I knew what I wanted. I remember I averaged 149 for the tournament, being, I think, rate 12, which is not good. It's not bad, but it was a sport shot, you know, first international yeah. event. And then I was starting to work with my first coach. He was the one that taught me bowling as a sport. I was never that person that just came in to have fun in the bowling center and maybe bowl leagues. I always trained to get to become a better bowler because that's the only thing I knew how it's done. So I was practicing with him. We had a strict regime, anywhere from 3 to 4 times a week. We were working on my technique. I was still growing, so we were changing my ball fit. Sure. We're trying to teach me all the basics of bowling. I really respect him for teaching me that bowling is a sport. We were doing drills. We were only having one game for a score during an hour and a half practice sessions, one-on-one I had with him. And I also think I'm privileged being able to have someone with me at the young age teaching me about the game. That led me to win everything there was to win at the age of 16 in Poland. I had won every single competition against women and men. And that's when I was going for European Youth Championships. I was winning my first medals on the international arena. But something happened to where I started winning everything in Poland. And there was, I'm not going to say there was not much competition, because there was. It wasn't coming with much ease, but I was still winning a lot. But then I was being sent to like adult tournaments or like even youth tournaments, and I couldn't get gold. I couldn't perform as well as I was in Poland. I could see that the massive difference between the level of bowling in my country and level of bowling in the other countries. I stopped progressing. I was working just as hard. I was practicing just as hard at the age of 15, 16. I stopped progressing. If anything, I was bowling worse and worse. And then, you know, back then, there was no, like, YouTube wasn't big. There was no bowling on TV. I didn't see much of this modern bowlers, but what I saw was, like, you know, Team USA on World Cups. So like Tommy Jones was probably the first name I can think of because I saw his game and I'm like, damn, why I don't practice to bowl like him? I don't understand. And that's when we had the very first argument with my coach. I was like, I don't want to have a glove. I don't want to bowl up 5. I don't want you to put stick under my armpit to hold my shoulder high. Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, my brain couldn't comprehend that that's what I want. That's what the best bowlers are bowling like. But why do I bowl like this? Like, I don't understand. And we start to have first, like, debates. Because when I was small, my parents didn't know much about bowling. They were just bowlers and they were bowling. I didn't know much. I liked practicing and, like, getting better. But there came the time when I just plateaued. And I started seeing differences between how I train and how the other bowlers bowl. And that's when we have fell apart with my coach. I did ask him if we can go to see another coach that was a gold level certified, was very amazed with my game at the age I was. And he wanted to help me. I asked my coach if we can, you know, we can have another set of eyes. So maybe he has some ideas because I am not improving. And unfortunately, that caused a massive fallout. It didn't end very well. I'm still a little bit bitter of how it had all gone because on my side, I just, you know, I wanted to be fair. So I started coaching with the coach. I'm also coaching up to this day. We reunited during COVID. But anyway, that's when my game started becoming to where it is. Kostas would teach me everything what there is to bowling. He would, for the first time, take my shots on the camera, compare it to Tommy Jones, Chris Barnes and stuff. He said, you have physically the ability to bend your elbows. Like, what does it mean? It's like, yeah, that's why you have more rev rate, because you physically are getting under the ball by using your elbow, which is what the best bowlers that have rev rate, that's what they do. That's the path we're going to take. You have that. I don't have to teach you. We have to just, you know, change here and there. So, yeah, basically, he created me the bowler that I am. I had gotten some more medals for European Youth Championships. I had made some cuts for adult championships in Europe. And then I met Sid Allen, one of the probably best coaches in the world. He, I think, was... either he's still taking care of Teal Singapore or he used to. I'm actually not sure now. But he's like, hey, Daria, there is that school. It's called Weber International. They work with Kegel Training Center. I'm sure that if you wanted to, you could get a scholarship. So just have that in mind, you know, like you can bowl and do your degree. And I was mind blown. I was like, you mean I can do like a degree and also like bowl for the school? That's when I was looking it up. And I think Diana paved the way for me because Diana is, I think she is a year or two older than me. So she did go to Weber 2 years before me when I already had heard about it. And it's also because she was being coached by Sid Allen when she was back in Latvia. So she did know about the program. So I got in touch with her being like, hey, I think I want to go. I was so oblivious to everything associated with colleges. I never looked into other colleges. I was just like, okay, Weber, I go. And yeah, I filed for my visa. I picked up my visa the day I was leaving to US, and that's how my college bowling career had started.
Very cool.
And from there, yeah, PWBA came back when I was in the last year of my senior year in college. I didn't think much of it. I was like, okay, cool. Never really thought I would become professional, but you know, we are here today. So I think everything was meant to be.
That's an awesome story. Do your parents still bowl?
Yeah, they are more obsessed with bowling than anybody I know. My dad is 64. My mom is 61. My dad is 64, two-handed. He switched to two hands after seeing Belmonte in maybe 2006 or 2008 Youth World Championships. And ever since, he always put me in that awful situation when, you know, my parents don't speak English and my dad would be like, hey, can you go to him and tell him that because of him, I bowl two-handed. So like, imagine young me, like barely speaking English, like tapping Belmonte on the shoulders. Yeah. Hey, Belmo, my dad wants to say thank you. And then Belmo's full was like, oh, because of you, he bowls two-handed and he just wanted you to know. I was like, okay, cool. So like, that's how like I developed some relationships with the players that I'm friends with right now. And Belmo is one of the examples. It's because from when I was super small, I was always forced like, hey, talk to him and tell him this, thank you and stuff. So yeah, they bowl a senior tournament in Europe.
Okay.
The senior tour is becoming really big in Europe, and they also bowl everything they can in Poland. They absolutely love the sport. They watch everything they can on YouTube. They watch bowl TV. They watch PBA. Even though they speak zero English, my mom does a little bit. My mom, zero. Like, they don't mind that they don't really understand what's being talked about, what the format of the tournament is, what they're actually watching sometimes. Sometimes it can be a live stream tournament from the US, but they have no idea what it is. But they're just watching, you know?
Right.
And that's the level of obsessiveness that I have not reached quite yet. But I think it's really cool that they're so passionate about it.
That's very cool. Earlier you mentioned that I can't recall which coach you mentioned did this, but that you would only keep score for one game, but you practice for an hour and a half. Do you think that's important, especially for younger bowlers who are starting out to do that, just work on drills and work on skills and not worry about score at first?
It's very hard to know what worked for everyone, right? I had fun and knowing I was getting better. And when you're like young, you can see the progress really fast, right? You go from 100 average to 120 in the blink of an eye, and then from 120 to 140, from 140 and so on and so forth. It's really important to make bowling fun. So when you're super young, it's nice just to go and throw balls. But once you get to some sort of mental frames to where, like, you know, you want to go on youth tournaments and stuff, you need to understand that there is so much you can achieve by just throwing a bowling ball and getting repetition in. But there is so much that can be done when you're young to actually mold your game to whatever you want it to be. And I think I understood that quite young. And thanks to the first coach that had taught me that, you know, like, if you work on your timing is going to get better. When it gets better, you feel more comfortable. When you feel more comfortable, the tournaments you perform better. And all we want to do is win, right? It's that endorphins that come in whenever you throw a good shot or you strike for the win or you are on the highest on the podium. It's that feeling that you're chasing. And I think I understood that feeling from the moment I won my first youth championships. And I've always been chasing it. And I think I understood that the only way to chase it is by working on my game rather than bowling for fun.
What do you love most about Poland?
I love the people. We are very caring. And not getting much into politics because we all get, sure, you know, overwhelmed with information. But we did have the war start in 2021 between Russia and Ukraine. Mm. And unfortunately, that caused a massive wave of refugees coming into Poland because we are bordering with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And it was usually mothers with children running away from war. And the thing that Polish people did, it's going to be something that I have goosebumps thinking about it. But even me, I would go to like stores and prepare massive packages for the military. And you would take it to, you know, sometimes the transportation companies that would have buses, like tourist buses going from Poland to Ukraine, they would change into getting everything that they might need, either the army or the people. All the donations from Polish people, you would find a place that you can leave this and they would just drive it across the border, risking their life, right? Because you had rockets falling from the sky. You would know what was happening. But the coolest thing that Polish people did is that in every train station, they set up booths with everything for free that they might need. There was booths with hot food. There were booths with cold snacks. There were booths with shoes for women, men, and kids. There were clothes. And if you ever would look at the footage on YouTube and stuff, all that these people did is amazing. And they also developed that website to where whoever is willing to give a room to an Ukrainian refugee can put their address into that server and be like, hey, we can house two women and a kid, or but we have a dog, we have this. So then Ukrainians could go on that website and they would have a destination to go and to survive for at least a few days, few weeks or a few months until they figure out what to do next. Wow. And all of that had been done by Polish people. Government had nothing to do with it. It was not supported, it was not sponsored from the government for the very first few months of the war. But for some reason, I think because of our history in Poland being like the center of the two world wars, it gave us that empathy to people who suffer. We understand how it is when you're on the mercy on others. And I think that everything that had happened during the war and is happening, I think Polish people are stepping up and showing who we really are, you know, that we are very empathetic and caring. And that's the thing that I would always love the most about our culture and our people.
That's awesome. That's very cool. How do you mentally prepare for a tournament?
It all depends, right? Like there's a tournament that you bought a sweeper on Saturday. That mostly for me would be more based, like I would take it as a training. Of course, I want to win. But let's say we're talking about big tournaments, right? Let's say we're talking about the first PWBA stop I have to attend. So I always go by, you can control what you can control. And that really helps with mental state, because once you feel prepared, you feel more at ease, right? So that always starts with getting my equipment ready. making sure all my grips fit me, that I'm not going to get to the stop. And then like I suddenly cannot put my finger in because it's way too small, right? Sure. Those little things can really throw you off when you're meant to compete. And then like, oh my God, where is the ball? Where is my grip? Where is my thumb? Mm. So preparing my equipment, preparing my backpack, and that preparation comes from having a whole lot different heels and soles, because you never know if it's going to be slippery or tacky. You don't want to go into that risk when it's tacky. You don't have a heel, you're frantic, you're asking your friends if they have it, you go to pro shop. It takes away from being able to be present to get ready for that tournament or for, you know, the first game. So that is definitely something I would always preach. The other thing is the mental routine at the tournament, during the games. It's very important to have something to fall on, and I've fallen into my pre-show routine. Everyone has different one, but mine would be like, you know, picking up the ball, wiping it, looking at my line, at the pins, thinking about my line, thinking about what I'm going to do, and then trying to shut off my brain and just go for it. Okay. Everybody has different thought process. It's very personal. Mine is also very personal. Not something I would like to share, but it's, you know, even if I was to share, I don't think sure. it would help. But having just that routine
right.
is a very important thing. So the mental preparation, I don't think there is something that I would tell you like, yeah, meditate 3 days before tournament. Right. I visualize. Sometimes when I'm like in that training regime, when I practice a lot before the tour, when I'm laying in the bed, I find myself bowling. I find myself visualizing a tournament and then like going through the process. But I don't know if I'm doing it to help myself go to sleep or I'm doing it for the better outcome of the tournament. I find myself really enjoying. If I have a lot of things on my mind, because, you know, we all have private lives and some things are not always great, I feel like thinking of bowling and thinking of like, okay, let's see how I would approach a short pattern, right? And in my head, I'm bowling on short and throwing this and that ball and this happens. And I just do that. So a lot of people would say it's a visualization, and I would agree. However, for me, it wasn't forced to like visualize. It just came very naturally. So that would be one of the things if you were trying to prepare for the tournament. I guess it's nice to look at the picture of the bowling center if you're going to bowl somewhere you don't know, and just like try to visualize bowling in that. So that way, when you walk in, it doesn't feel that overwhelming, that different than it normally would walking into a new bowling center that you had not bowled before.
Do you think that the mind cannot tell the difference between actually practicing and visualizing practice? Visualizing great shots?
I've read a lot of mental game books, and that's what they preach. They say that the mind cannot really feel or see the difference, but I don't know if that's true. I haven't really experienced that myself, but I do definitely think that it puts it more at ease. So when I was bowling my first TV show, that's what I was trying to visualize. And because I had some experience of bowling a TV show for Weber International University when we won our national title with the team, the day before I was very anxious and I was like trying to like feel how it's going to be like. And then I was bowling my first TV show in Detroit. I did the same process. I'm like, okay, it's going to be really bright. It's going to be really quiet. So in my mind, I was visualizing how it is. And the moment I stepped foot on that TV set, I don't know if it was adrenaline or what was it, I felt like I'm in the right spot. And whether it was because of visualization or anything I cannot think of right now, I cannot tell you. But sure. If anything, it definitely helps. If it really, really, really helps, maybe for some, maybe for me, I don't know.
You've had to overcome some adversity in your career, which something most recently was you had an elbow injury. How is your elbow now? And could you then kind of tell me the story of kind of what led up to you injuring your elbow, how that happened?
Yeah, so I am double jointed. I can even show you like this. My elbow bends very drastically the other way. And unfortunately, that causes joints to get weaker. And I'm just built that way, you know? So with years and years and years of bowling and practicing, and I've always had issues with my elbow. Not very bad. I will always feel a little bit of pain or try to warm it up. But in 2021, that's when I went on practice and I threw a few shots and I felt a sharp pain. And I'm like, wow, that's not good. I tried to throw another shot and my hand would just give up, would just open. I would drop the ball because it would be a shooting pain. So I started going to the doctors. I got my MRI. They say it's inflammation. They said we can fight it through doing a lot of different like plasma injections, magnetic poles. If I told you I tried everything that was possible I could get my hands on, I did. I was at the time in Poland, which then just getting medicated in Poland is a little bit easier and cheaper on its own, and all the treatments. So I could really try all I could, from red light therapy through magnetic therapy through something I'm not sure how that called it in the US, but it's plasma injections, mm-hmm. to where they draw your blood, they put in the machine, they spin it, the white cells go up, they inject it back in. It's meant to help restore whatever had happened in that elbow quicker. So I did that twice. I bowled very little before the tour of 2022. I still struggled a lot. My hand was getting really swollen. I was in pain. I was on medication. But that's when I realized there's only four ways really that really helped me to manage my injury. The first and most important was a warm up. I've always tried to warm up. I don't think I was warming it up well enough. And then I found that accessory that helps you warm up your grip. It just looks very weird. You just like keep squeezing it. Mm-hmm. And when you have your hands straight in front of you and you squeeze it really hard until it gets fatigued, you can feel it all the way through your elbow that's warming up. Okay. So now whenever I bowl, you would always see me. That's like, I cannot bowl without this. Like, I'm not going to go and throw a shot without using it, because I'm also terrified. Like, it can happen, will happen in 2021. The second thing would be an elbow band. I've gone through so many different elbow bands until one day I've gotten a message from a physical therapist saying like, hey, Daria, I developed this elbow band. I would love to send it to you because it really has helped me and other people. I really think it's going to help you. I don't need any endorsement, anything. I think he was quite of an older guy. He didn't really care about all the marketing fuzz about his product. And he sent it to me and I absolutely fell in love. It's the band that wraps around your elbow, but it has two plates that stick out. And you're meant to put those plates in the areas that hurt, to where you actually really need to put pressure instead of putting the pressure all around the elbow, what causes swelling, inflammation, discomfort. So I started using that and it absolutely changed how my elbow would feel during the block. The third thing would be icing it as much as possible after doing any type of physical activity that involves the elbow, the forearm. So after bowling, icing it as much as possible before going to sleep, icing it. And the last but not least would be working out. The moment I start to work out my shoulders again, my upper back, my forearms and my grip, that's when I noticed that I'm experiencing less and less pain. Mm. So I did neglect my upper body workouts, thinking like, I don't want to get tight. I don't want to lift too heavy for my chest, shoulders, biceps, triceps, because I felt like when I was going to bowling, something like that was tight. And in my head, I was right away thinking that's not a good thing. So I did neglect my upper body workouts in 2021, which I do believe has led me to really have that injury. So it was a learning curve, but that's exactly what had worked. And now it's absolutely and under control. I have to be always careful, and I forever will have to be careful, but it's not inflamed. It doesn't hurt me. Sometimes when it hurts me, just a few ibuprofen, like 2-3 pills of ibuprofen when it's really bad, I would take. But other than that, I no longer take any prescription meds for pain, which is great because my stomach couldn't handle them anymore in 2022. So yeah, everybody is different. But for now, I feel like it's under control. I'm very happy that I no longer bowl in pain, or I don't need to have a surgery.
I think ibuprofen is probably the a great friend to all bowlers.
That is true. That is true, yeah.
So obviously in 2022, the elbow obviously hampered your performance. You just finished the 2023 season. And no one would ever doubt that you are one of the most talented bowlers on tour, but obviously didn't probably have the season you'd hoped for. Do you feel like, and for any reason, that you're in a slump or in a growing period, or what can people expect from Daria in 2024?
I cannot really put expectations to people's heads. I feel like people have very high expectations towards me because of my early success in 2017 and because of my physical game, right? I feel like a lot of players try to mold their game to mine. Physical game does not always equal results. And this year, I think we can say straight up, I think that season quite sucked for me. I made one TV show, one finals. It wasn't on TV, it was on both TV, but I did make one finals early on in the season that I'm very happy about. I made all the regular tournament cuts. I did not make a cut for Queen's Major. I didn't make a cut for US Open, which is absolutely devastating for a bowler to miss such a big event. But it's a growing process and learning. I can tell you now that there's been a lot going on in my personal life with having my visa revoked in 2020 and living in Poland, traveling for the US in 2021 and 2022, the same thing. I was not living in the US. I was traveling constantly. So when I settled here finally in Utah, where I feel like, okay, I can finally get this done. Maybe I was not quite ready yet. It was just a few months when that happened before the tour started. So I feel like for 2024, I'm more at peace. I'm more situated in my life. I know that Utah is where I belong, so I no longer have to travel back and forth. So that is going to help me a lot. I've been struggling a lot with my physical game. I think a lot of it had to do with some bad choices I had made in my physical game, make changes that I had followed. Some of the advices that I feel like shouldn't have followed. I really, really struggled. I had a very hard time fighting Jordan bowling because I was just on the lane, unsure where the ball is going to go. So even though you would see one clip of me or two clips, I'm like, oh my God, she bowls awesome. She has high backswing and the reverie. It did not reflect in the scores because what's the most important thing in bowling is to be repetitive, right? You know? So even if the lanes fall into my game to where I could really perform, if in the 10th frames, I had two bad shots and those bad shots would give me 5, 6, 7 split. This is no longer a good game. You have to be able to repeat. And that's something I had not been able to do very well. Doesn't matter how much I practice or not, my game is still coming to where I want it to go, which might sound crazy to a lot of people being like, oh my God, why is she working on her game? It's because when, you know, when we practice, our heart rate is at peace. It's we're not nervous. There's a lot of foul line corrections that our brain, our body is meant to do because we're more relaxed. Nothing feels rushed. So even if you have a mistake in your physical game that you don't see with your naked eye when you practice, it doesn't bother you. It's many times it's because your body finds a way to correct it as you walk, as you release it. So you don't feel like it's a problem. But then you come to very highly stressful situations like, you know, final strike for the win, whatever that would be, right? And then suddenly you feel like you cannot throw the ball where you want it. Mm-hmm. Something is off for your game. And then you all blame it on your mental game, which is a very big part of bowling. It's a massive part of bowling. But sometimes those errors that are core, it's also because your physical game is not solid enough to perform under pressure because your brain has no longer time to do those small corrections it was doing during the practice. So now all those mistakes, they just pop out. And you are like, oh my God, I've never done this before. But when you work with a coach that is very knowledgeable, he will be able to tell you what is happening and how your body is compensating as you are on the approach and how your body is not able to compensate when you are bowling a tournament. So bowling is such a complex game. It's always easy to find excuses. It's always easy to blame something or someone. But this year, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming my mental game. I'm not blaming my physical game. I'm not blaming coaches. I'm not blaming balls, nothing. Everything that is to blame is me as a whole. I have to figure it out how to get it right, how to perform to my expectations and to expectations of many of people that follow me and root for me deeply. So it's all me. And I understand that. I don't feel pressure, but yet I'm feeling excited that even though this year wasn't good, I have so many months to really work on the things that I believe need work on. And that includes my head, my mental game, it includes my physical game, and includes knowing my equipment better. All of that, just having the plan and the program for it, it excites me that I can do everything I can in my power to get and become better bowler up to the expectations that I have set on myself.
What is at the top of your list right now that you're working on?
I'm working on my backswing and my body angles. I have decided to lower my backswing because it has gone really high this year. That created a different role. I became more tilty, so the ball had more tilt, which meant that many times it was flying through the spot and not seeing the lanes. Of course, I left more 2-8-10s and 2-10s and worst shots I've ever had in my life. But as the tour was going on, I didn't catch that being such a big problem until, like, you know, I realized that my ball motion is not what I want it to be. I have very little margin down lane, and I was trying to figure out why. And then it was enough to look at my ball roll really closely and be like, wow, I've never had this much amount of tilt. So just getting my ball motion to where I want it to be, to where it can really benefit my game and give me a little bit more margin down lane, is something that's the top of my priority list, which I actually have already gotten down. So it's more about repeating it all over and over again. And also lower my backswing. My backswing has gone so hard to where at the tournament it will get even hard. That will throw my timing point off. It will throw my follow through, my body angles would shut. I will not be able to repeat it as much as I wish. So my backswing has gotten lower because of that, but also because of my elbow injury. The higher the backswing is, the more my elbow is going to hyperextend the other way, which causes pain in the long run. So those are the changes that had to be made, and that's what I'm currently working on.
Seems to be always like a domino effect. When you adjust or change one thing in bowling, then five other things get affected, and you've got to fix those.
Yeah, always. And I think that's why we love it. You know, you can never get it to where you want it to be, and then it's just, you just bowl. Right. I feel like the mistakes and the old habits like always have a tendency to creep up on you in the moment when you think you have everything, you know, under control, and you're like, hello, no. Right. Let's see your old friend again. What about late timing? How are you feeling about having late timing again? Let's do it. And then you're like, oh my God, like really?
Right.
So yeah, that's why, that's the beauty of our sport.
I had the privilege of going to the Kegel Training Center earlier this year and working with Ruben, which if anyone out there is looking for a coach, Ruben's like a wizard. And just in a short period of time of watching me, he just corrected a little bit of my trail leg, which was coming way too far behind me, and it was causing my hips to open and my shoulders were overcompensating. And so he got me just to bring my trail leg in more, and it was amazing how much that small little tweak helps accuracy. So
yeah, I definitely agree. It's just that the better the coach, the faster they can spot what is causing your struggles, you know, because everybody has stuff that they can work on in their game. At the end of the day, we don't know what's perfect game. Like, we don't know. The perfect game is the one that can be repeatable and can win, right? But everybody's repeatability is going to be different, because if I'm built one way, I'm not going to be able to do stuff that somebody else can do being built the other way. So a good coach is the person that sees your body, see how you bow, and be like, hey, that needs changing. Before we do anything else, I know that if we change this, it's going to really help your game. And coaches at Kegel Training Center are awesome, so I would always recommend everybody to go and get a lesson if they are trying to fix something in the physical game.
This concludes part one of my conversation with Daria. Thanks for listening. Join us next time on The Bowler's Mind.